2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 14 through 17. Are we good to go? It's not even close to 12 o'clock yet. And it is truly a joy to see y'all here this morning on our 14th homecoming here at Richardson Baptist Church. 14 years as an established church. Still here, still going for Jesus. Still preaching the Word. We've been blessed that God is faithful, first of all. And that you and I, as we continue to learn the Word of God and study it, that it continually transforms you and I to be more like Christ. And also, as we learn the Word of God, it changes our views on this world and life in general, right? And also, as we continue to learn, there are things that we once believed that we no longer believe. And it's not because we're getting wrapped up in some kind of traditionalism or whatever it may be, but because the Word of God says differently. So what we've got to do is, as we continue to grow, and as we see where we were wrong, we have to admit that, confess that, and go forward with Jesus. For Jesus. Amen. According to His Word. So I'm thankful that we are part of a church that loves the Lord, loves His Word. We were having a good time this morning before services started, just enjoying being around each other, amen, laughing and cutting up, and a lot of joy just being here. And I'm very thankful for that. That is truly a blessing. So what I'm going to look at this morning in 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17, we see a church, the church at Corinth. This is a specific church that has specific people in this church. We could call them church members. And the first letter written to the church at Corinth, we know, was a letter of rebuke, don't we? I want to read verses 14 through 17, and then we'll go back and look at how they went from a church being rebuked to a church that was being edified, encouraged, and praised. Amen. So let's look at verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Notice the word savor, not savior. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God and the sight of God speak we in Christ. May the Lord help us. Again, this is Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and it is quite different than the first. In the first letter, the Corinthians were being rebuked. This is part of the elders' responsibility in taking care of the Lord's church. It's not something that we enjoy doing, but it's something that at times we have to do. We see in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, where Paul charges Timothy to be faithful in his calling, and in being faithful to his calling, yes, there is encouragement, there is edification, there's also times of rebuke and reproving. We must keep in mind that the church at Corinth was a young church when 1 Corinthians was written to them. It is never okay to make mistakes, but we must confess that we will make mistakes every day. Different mistakes, of course, there are different consequences. The Corinthians definitely made plenty of mistakes. So again, in 1 Corinthians, we see a broad rebuke for almost the whole church. Well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 just for a second. Verses 1 through 9. There's no such thing as a perfect church on this earth, because all the churches are made up of people. And we look around here this morning, we can see that no one in here is perfect. So, since imperfect people make up the church on earth, the church on earth is imperfect. In other words, we all make mistakes, don't we? We do things or have done things that we're not proud of, that we don't shout from the rooftops. And the sad part is that, given enough time, we'll make more mistakes. But still in all, even though we make mistakes, we still belong to Jesus Christ, if He saved our souls, right? Nothing and no one can separate us from Christ. The church at Corinth, though they were wrong in many ways, do you know what they were? The Lord's church. So let's read the first 9 verses of 1 Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto what? The church. The church of who? Of God. Where's his church located at? Which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. We just learned about grace, didn't we? What's given to these people? Grace. That in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this last part. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I are not faithful, but God is. That's why we're still here. That's why we still meet together as Richardson Baptist Church. Listen, we make mistakes. We have to be able to grow, don't we? And in growing, we find out where we have been wrong. So we continue to grow in the Word, by His grace. The Corinthians, listen, they were doing some things that were not right. We know this. We talked about this the past 2 weeks. We'll talk about it more in the coming weeks because we're in Galatians and looking at spiritual gifts and how they were abusing spiritual gifts, misusing spiritual gifts, not doing what they were doing in love. They were not doing church discipline. So Paul rebukes them for that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. How terrible was that, that this one man had his father's wife? And they were not doing church discipline. And here's the thing, is that you cannot do church discipline on someone who is not a church member, right? So obviously this person was a member of the church at Corinth. But it is obvious in these first 9 verses that the Corinthians were loved by God and by Paul. How much does God love the church at Corinth? The same as He loves the church at Richardson and the church wherever else in this world that's truly a church of the Lord. What did He do? For God so loved the world, what did He do? He did what? He sent. Amen. From verse 10, and 1 Corinthians pretty much to the end of the book, the rest of the book is a rebuke. I've often said, don't pattern yourself after the church at 1 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians. What a difference 2 Corinthians is. See, Paul in 1 Corinthians, he had to confront them with truth, by the way. Paul did this in love. He did love the church at Corinth. He did not hate them. He spent a year and a half there with them, 18 months, teaching and preaching the Word of God. He had much invested in this church. He loved the church at Corinth. And when you love someone, you know what you do? You tell them the truth. Because the truth is beneficial. So it's obvious they were loved by God and by Paul. So we turn back to 2 Corinthians. And Paul writes the book of 2 Corinthians, and it's obvious that the Corinthians adhered to the first letter that was written. That says a lot about them. Do y'all like being called out when you're wrong? What's that do to you? Anybody ever get mad? Tell me I'm wrong. Man, that's a merge, not a yield. How about traffic? I almost got killed yesterday. My wife almost saw it happen. I left out on the road, and I was going, I saw a car coming way back here, over half a mile away. And I said, I had to top a hill and then make a right hand turn. But to make this right hand turn, I had to swing out because I'm pulling a trailer to swing into the driveway. And I said, I bet they will not see me. People just don't see them these days. So I slowed down, waited until they could see my trailer. I had my blinker on and my brake lights was on, slowing down. I said, they've got to be able to see me by now. So I swung in that left lane and I kept watching them. When I swung in that left lane, you could tell they never slacked up. So I had to stop. Good thing, because they come by me blowing a horn. Whoa! On the right hand side of me. And I blew the horn back. No hand movements whatsoever. But if I'd have turned there, you know what would have happened? I got smoked. They were moving. See, they don't know the rules of the road, do they? No idea. They thought, sure, I was in the wrong because I was making a right-hand turn. And they're behind me. What do they need to be? Taught. If they'd have come back, I'd have gave them a lesson in how to drive. But they didn't come back. And I wasn't mad, throwing a fit, because some things you just kind of expect out of people. How about the church? Can we expect you and I to make mistakes? It helps us to keep that in mind that no one here is perfect. Not the pastor, not the elders. Understand this, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that are stupid. We're going to make stupid decisions. We're going to say things that are stupid. And we look at each other with the grace of God. We look at each other understanding that we're going to grow as a result of knowing truth. So that's why it's so important that Brother Jeremy and I keep preaching and teaching the Word of God. That we don't get hung up in some kind of programs. We keep preaching what the Word of God says. This is how we grow. By the Word of God. This is how we know. By the Word of God. So Paul, I'm not going to read all this. I was, so I'm not going to read from chapter 1, verse 12. But I will read verse 1 in chapter 2 and read down through to our text. Paul writes, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Now remember, that first book was a book of what? He's hitting them hard. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad for the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. Look at verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Paul didn't say, all right, they messed up, I'm going to get them now. It grieved Paul what was going on in the church of Corinth. With much sorrow and tears, he wrote that first letter. But how much joy does he have in them now? Amen. Or to say, less sorrow now. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. Which he's making reference to that one particular person specifically that they need to do church discipline on. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. So apparently, either this old boy was saved and didn't know, because remember, they brought in all their pagan practices with them, right? Major city, multiple people, or the Lord saved his soul. Either way, he repented. You've dealt with it. Don't go over with the dealing with it. Don't go overboard. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. What does this guy need? He needs to know that he's loved by the Lord, obviously, and by the Lord's church. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Why do this? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant. Of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Here we have a church full of sinners saved by the grace of God. What kind of people does God save? We looked at that last week. I'll briefly read this again. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Wicked people. Sinful people. Verse 11, and such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, what happened to these drunkards? What happened to these fornicators, these adulterers, these homosexuals, these extortioners, these revelers? What happened to them? The Lord saved their souls. He didn't just save them, leave them alone. He saved them. And now these people are part of the church at Corinth. Let's fast forward to 2,000, however many years it is, to today. Look around this building. What do you have? The same types of people whom the Lord, by His grace, has saved and placed us in the church here at Richardson Baptist Church. How wonderful is that? Aren't you thankful that God saves sinners and then uses us in His church? We love Him because He first loved us. Since we love Him, we also serve Him. And serving Him, we serve each other. Ultimately, Christ is our victory. In our flesh, as Brother Jeremy has already said, there is no good thing. No one seeks after God. No one wants God in a lost condition. But even after we're saved in our flesh, there is no good thing. We can't trust our flesh. We put no confidence in the flesh, what the Word of God says. We don't glory in it. Our trust is in the Lord. The Lord saves us. And when we're saved, we are all part of the ministry, per se, or we are servants of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have much work to do. I mentioned before that the Lord saves us when we grow. This church is, we could say, 14 years old. And we are different today than we were 14 years ago. And those of you who were here during that time can testify, we are different. What is it that continues to mold us? It is Scripture. The Scriptures. We're different, not to be different, not to try to be better than someone else. We're not looking at other churches saying, well, we're doing this and they're doing that and we have this and they don't have that and so on and so forth. No. We're simply serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, out of love for Him. So we have much work to do. We share the gospel. We make disciples. Then we continue teaching the disciples and being taught. How long do we do this? We do this until Christ comes back to catch us away or until we go to Him. We do this not out of pride. We do this humbly because it is God who causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, according to this verse here in 2 Corinthians. God opens up the ears and hearts of the lost. He saves them by His grace. And according to verse 17, you and I, or just His mouthpiece, look at verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. We don't do that. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, what do? Speak we in Christ. What are we sharing? The gospel. We're sharing the Scriptures. We simply proclaim what He has given to us to proclaim from the Scriptures. Nothing, listen, nothing outside of the Scriptures. We're proclaiming Scripture. The gospel is the power of God of salvation to everyone who believes, Jew and the Gentile, not programs, not pragmatic ways. The gospel. It's the perfect message. There's no reason to change it, add to it, or take away from it. We simply preach the gospel. The church at Corinth, yes, had made many mistakes. Some of them were terrible mistakes. But you know what God was doing? He was still using them. Again, there are no perfect Christians living on this earth. All of us sin in thought, word, and deed every day. If someone says they don't, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, that they are a liar. God uses imperfect people. Positionally, all who were saved are perfect in Christ Jesus, but practically, all who are saved still have this sinful flesh to deal with on a daily basis. Look at verses 15 and 16. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. And them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? We live for Christ. We proclaim the gospel to this world. Sometimes we see the Lord save souls. Sometimes we don't. We must remember that one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. For some, the gospel message is a sweet savor. For others, it is sour. For those, it's a sweet savor too. What do? They run to Jesus Christ. The Lord saves their souls. And then there are those where the gospel message is just they hate the smell of it, the taste of it, and the feel of it. Doesn't matter what you say or how you say it, they're not going to come to Jesus Christ. The point here is that when we are preaching the gospel, whether someone is saved or someone's not saved, God is pleased with us. A sweet savor to Him. I love coming home and before we even open the door up, I tell Miss Toya is cooking something good. Amen. It's usually something deep fried, I smell something like that. Coffee on. There are times that I've walked up to the door and said, oh goodness, I don't want to go inside because she's cooking cabbage. Or greens. Sorry y'all, I just don't like greens. I never could acquire the taste. I used to go off the bus sometimes and that southeast wind would be blowing and I get off the bus and I say, oh, this is terrible. My mom and my dad love cabbage. My mom would cook a big old pot of it, so I'm going to bed hungry tonight. Because at the house, it was you eat what we have, but you don't eat. There wasn't none of this. I'm going to run to the store and get a microwave pizza or nothing like that. Well, how wonderful it is to smell that stuff that we enjoy, that we like. Think about how we smell to the Lord. And what we do, what we're doing, how we're proclaiming the gospel, and that we're doing it for Him. When we are proclaiming Christ, we are a sweet savor unto God. When the lost are being saved and when the lost are rejecting Christ, either way, we're obeying God. Again, one plants, one water, God gives the increase. His word will not return void. It will accomplish in the saving and those who are not being saved. It will accomplish that which He sent it to do. Proclaiming the gospel is not an easy job. None of us in our own power are sufficient for doing the work of the ministry. He asks this question, who is sufficient for these things? We're not sufficient. Our sufficiency is found in Christ Jesus, not ourselves. In Christ we live and we breathe. In Christ we have our being. Christ is our joy, and serving Christ is joyful. Even when we don't see the results we desire, we keep going for Jesus Christ because He is worthy. He is worthy. I thought for sure by the time we had been here for 10 years that we would have already built a new building by now. And, you know, we would, and that I wouldn't be a bivocational pastor anymore at that point. The church would be have enough people that it would be different than what it is today. That's my expectations. But that wasn't the Lord's plans up to this point. We are still a small kind, but we're still here. We're still preaching. But it's part of this church. A little church that is faithful. Faithfully preaching the Word of God. A church that is not perfect in and of ourselves because we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We say things we shouldn't say and do things we shouldn't do. But the one we serve is perfect. He is very loving, compassionate, and patient with us. And we should be the same way with each other and even with ourselves. We sell the failures. But as long as we are obeying the Word of God, We have victory in Jesus Christ. We have been given the best message the world has ever known. We're going to share it with the world. We need His help to keep going for Him. I hope that if the Lord doesn't come back, in the next 14 years that we're still here, still preaching the gospel, still the joy to meet together. Amen. Still smiling, whether people are being saved or not being saved, that's not up to us. We have a mandate to preach the gospel. That's what we're to do. We're to serve one another, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep, to be here for each other, all for the glory and the honor of God. Amen. He is worthy. May the Lord grant you and I grace to be faithful stewards with what He has entrusted us with until He returns, all for His glory. Amen. He is faithful. If He wasn't, none of us would be here. Again, thank y'all for being here.